Good morning. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris on this Sunday morning. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy I'm here. And I'm happy the Lord's here. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to all stand up, go turn around, look at your neighbor, smile, wave, high five, handshake. And we're all going to move into a time of worship this morning. We're going to fellowship together, but we're going to glorify God. We're going to lift Him up. We're going to exalt Him because there is victory when we praise His name. That He dwells in the praises of His people, and so we're going to give Him glory. We're going to all close our eyes. We're all going to lift up our hands and exalt the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God. I needed You yesterday. I need You today, and I'm going to need You tomorrow. I exalt You above every name. I give You glory. I give You honor. You have called me out of darkness and into Your marvelous light, God, and I thank You for it. I didn't deserve it, God, but You did it anyway. I thank You, Jesus. I love You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus in the street.
Jesus.
Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus,
holy name,
power, your name is
Jesus, yes I do, over fear and all anxiety, yes, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. For his presence already this morning. How many can feel his presence this morning already? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I have a couple announcements today. The care group luncheons today is care group one, and that's Sister Lisa Calico. Woo! I heard she had a ton of people over there. They had to set up more tables, which is awesome. I'm so excited to be doing more things. I'm thankful for these care groups. So October 31st is care group number four. That's Sister Nell Fleming. If you aren't sure which group you are on, there's a list in the foyer on the bulletin board of each group. You want to make sure and check that out so you can be a part of that. the Branson money, the remainder of your money is due today. That is an awesome trip. I love going on that trip. It's so much fun. So that money is due today. The Trunk or Treat is Saturday, October 30th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Some announcements about that. The Trunk or Treat will be inside like the last time we did it. Y'all remember we set the booths up around in the gym. It was awesome. It was a great turnout. We don't have to worry about weather. But I did want to say the bathrooms will not be open to the public, so we don't have to worry about germs. And it will be disinfected after, so we also don't have to worry about germs. So booth setup, if you have a booth, that will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The gym will be open so you can set up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and decorate your booth. We need candy. Everybody loves candy and we need candy. Actually, if I could get a raise of hands, if you can bring a bag of candy, just so I can see you and I know you're committed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, y'all are all committed to candy now. Thank you. Okay, and also the candy drop-off will be in the Family Center kitchen all week long. The Family Center will be open. We'll be over there. So you can go in the kitchen and drop that off. And also if you're making cakes for the cakewalk, you can drop those off then. This is a community outreach is what I want this to be. Because the church is not this building. Right. We are the church. So we've got to get out there and we've got to take the church, these people. There are souls that need us. And this isn't just a trunk or treat. It's an opportunity for us to get to reach those people. Now more than ever, it's so important to reach those. Get out there. Be the church. So those are all the announcements this morning. Also, the monthly mission pledge is due October 31st. Thank you all so much.
Well, look around and tell your neighbor it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated and give yourself a break. Brother Stephen, will you bring that up here? Pastor and Sister Meyer, would you please join us on the platform? In fact, I'm going to stand over here so y'all can stand right here. Now, Stephen, if I was Sister Meyer, I would place you right here because she likes placing people. Now, Sister Meyer, if you wouldn't mind standing right beside Brother Stephen and Pastor right here. Did I do okay, Sister Meyer? Okay. This is a few things that I know about her. She likes placement correctly. And if you have ever, and that is a good thing, especially if you're OCD like I am. And if you've ever set up many tables and chairs at the Life Center, it's vitally important that you get it correct. And that's a good thing. But this month is Pastor and Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month. And as we do every year, the church has gathered together and wanted to say thank you for all that you have done. Not only throughout your tenure here, but especially this year as well. Challenging times for pastors are really upon the society and culture individuals because things are changing in how you minister to people. And so this year, like every other year, though, has its unique set of principles. But I want to say I personally appreciate, I've had many things. Scripture, I left my phone, which I had notes, and the Bible, I actually left over there because I've got to help my wife. So I do know, though, that Scripture says give double honor. And so today we want to do that. We want to give double honor. It also says that a pastor is for the equipping and the perfecting of the child of God in the body of believers. And so the role that a man fills in this office is not just any old role. It's a role that is equipping. And I thought many times you have equipped us so much through the years. I particularly enjoy the conversations where your mouth goes a little sideways. Because I know you're thinking an intentional thought that you're about to give. I had the privilege of riding in a white Escalade for many years. And Brother Chad, these detours that we're on during this road construction, it's a lot like life. They're not too enjoyable. You have to wait. People get in your way, there's barriers, there's things, but when this gets all done and this part of the road gets complete, it's going to be a nice highway to drive on, and sometimes you just have to go through these little construction zones in life. Brother Chad, two things. Every now and then I'll call Jordan Cunningham and I say, Jordan, two things. But it's those things and principles, and one thing that I know and that my mind was going on, that I share so much that you have given, is every trial that we go through is designed to do two things. Number one, it's get us closer to the Lord. And number two is get us closer to each other. And I cannot tell you how many times that statement has been echoed through myself to a host of other peoples that you will probably never see. But your ministry filters out in such a manner. Sister Meyer, I thank you for Romans and Psalms 100 and a litany of others that you taught us through the years, because when it came to that, and you will have to forgive me, but that certain element of pottery that you had. And if Pastor's mouth went to the side, you knew Sister Meyer's foot stomp and a finger point, and there was about something to be delivered. And a tear may would fall down her face in Sunday school class, but when she would say, I know that I know that I know that that is whole pottery. And nobody can convince me otherwise. You have to know that you know that you know. I remember this morning you taught a lesson on spiritual gifts. And one of those that morning, I remember, and you said for us to pray for them. And it was the gift of wisdom that I asked for specifically that morning. I remember another morning that you said, what is the most important thing? And a certain individual that we love dearly, and you may know who this is, but they said, our most important thing is not to go to heaven. Our most important thing is to bring somebody with us. And it's times like that that we're blessed through the years. It's times like that that we give you honor today. But there's so many things. The last thing I would say is this, is I don't know about you, but one day I want to do this, and it's going to take a lot of work, and I'm going to do it. But I'm thinking 365 days a year, and somebody has been blessed by you every single day at some point in your ministry here for 38 years. And I would love, and maybe I can't do it, I don't know, but I know heaven has it documented. On February the 2nd, you helped pray me through the Holy Ghost, and 2 weeks later, you baptized me. Those are my days that you have specifically, I know that day, Pastor Meyer's ministry went that day. On April the 28th, you married me. On September the 21st, you prayed prayers of faith so I could live in 1991. There's so many dates, and I'm sure we could fill the calendar of 365 days that these two individuals have helped us at some point on that day. While that documentation doesn't exist yet, I know heaven has record, but today we want to say thank you. We want to say we love you. And if you could join me and all stand, and let's give them a hand clap, and then we're going to pray over them. But let's give them a hand clap of appreciation of our love for them. Amen. You know and I know how much he reflects that, and she reflects that off of themselves to others. But let's pray a prayer right now that God would continue to strengthen them. Lord, I thank you, God, for such an opportunity to have a pastor and a pastor's wife that has taught us to love you, O God, and love others. And I pray, God, a continual hedge of protection upon them. I pray, God, right now that you would minister through them, God, continually, that they would affect the souls of men and women, Lord. And in return, those souls would affect others, God, that there would be a record in heaven, that there would be a litany, oh God, of people that have been strengthened by this ministry. Let your blessings continue. Let your anointing continue, God, and let the fervency, oh Lord, of your word and your spirit, in the name of Jesus, be given ample supply. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Everybody say we love the Myers. Everybody say we love their family.
Love their family.
Amen. God bless y'all.
You may be seated. wife and I do not have the time nor the words. Our cup runneth over. Our vocabulary is not expanded enough yet to be able to put all the spirits within those words that say thank you for being a people that care about each other, about a world that needs Jesus, and accommodating the ministry that God has given to us. So today obviously is above our heads and way beyond what we can respond to you, other than keep living a life that would perhaps lead you to the ultimate and saying things that lead you into the perfect law of liberty and the glory of a God that created the heaven and the earth and all that is therein. You are to be appreciated. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this lovely wreath and all the cards. We appreciate it so much. Sorry they fell out there, but this is such a unique idea, whoever came up with it. Thank you so very, very much. We appreciate all the cards we do receive. I just wanted to say, when I was thinking about this being Pastor Appreciation Day, that all of you know that God gave Moses a very detailed, elaborate plan for building that tabernacle. But he also said, Moses, I have given you men with talents to do silver and gold, people that can carve the wood, people that can sew the tapestries. So though Moses was given the plan, he did not do it alone. He had a lot of good help from very talented people. And that's the way it has been here. God may give our pastor certain direction, but God has also given all of you wonderful people special talents to work here to make this thing flow as God plans for it to be. And I appreciate that also very much. And I love all of you.
God bless.
We were privileged to get to go to a conference this past week, since it's Pastor's Appreciation. We got done with some of the most amazing services, and I told my brother, we talk about this often, but I was like, Bogran, Brother Meyer, he literally preaches this every Sunday. And I just couldn't think how thankful that we are that sometimes the things he preaches may go way over my head, but the more that I absorb what he says, and then I go to conferences where big names are preaching, and I'm thankful for those people too. But I thank God I'm getting it every week.
Yes.
I'm literally getting it every week. Help me take advantage of this that you've given us, because not every church is blessed like that. Oh God, why don't you just go ahead and stand up? I feel God in this room so strongly. He moved so strongly during our praise practice. And I don't want anybody to walk out this door the same way that you came in. If you came in with fear, I want you to walk out with faith. If you came in feeling so down and hopeless, you better grab a hold of the hope and the faith that's in this building. Because we got people that come every Saturday night praying for these moves of God. And you better get a hold of it today, church. The time is short. The time is short. We don't have time to be offended, to be hurt, to be disunified. It's time to unite and it's time to stand. Because that's two of the things that he commands us. And everyone can do that.
God is a struggle for survival. To the battlefield, I take.
I won't.
Here. Ooh, as previously mentioned, Sister Kylie said that we went to a conference this past week. First off, I'd like to say I've been serving God way too long to turn back now. And I know some of y'all have been serving as old as I am, so I know it's way too late for y'all to turn back. So we went to this conference, right? Tons of people there. And I'm struggling to get a breakthrough. The best worship service I've ever been to, hands down. And I'm struggling to get a breakthrough. Preaching's phenomenal, and I can remember what all the preachers talked about, and I'm struggling to get a breakthrough. I'm not kidding when I tell you, I go down to the front, and I'm doing everything that I know how to do, and I'm not getting my breakthrough. So I get a little frustrated, if I'm being honest with you. I get a little frustrated, Pastor, because I'm doing all I know and it's not working. Oh. And you see, I've got my breakthrough now. But what it took was for me to get so uncomfortable that I had to... It took me to get so uncomfortable to get my breakthrough. You can see now, the Lord's brought me through. I had ulcers that I have never had such bad ulcers in my life. At the top of my lips, it hurts to talk. God's gonna get my praise. I'm not seeing what I want. God's gonna get my praise. Let me tell you, church, you might have to get a little uncomfortable to receive your breakthrough. But when I tell you, nothing in this world can even touch my breakthrough. Read the prayer request in a second, but I'm speaking this in faith right now. I don't care how small your problem is. I don't care how big your problem is. To me, the ulcers were kind of a small deal, but it was holding me back. Not getting my breakthrough is something no one else can see, but it's holding me back. So if you can't see your problem, if it's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, that's still a good cause to go to the Lord. So if you would, I'm speaking in faith right now. If anyone's got any problems, I mean ulcers, your toe hurts, you've got migraines, you've got depression, you've got addiction you're facing, I'm telling you, if you step out in faith, and decide to get just a little bit uncomfortable. Reach for the hem of that garment, because it's gonna happen. I claim victory in this place today, Jesus. Oh God, none of this is possible without you. Our ministers will anoint you with oil. Please feel free to come to the front and get a partner, because we are only as strong as our church is. In Jesus' name, I come before you today as a vessel, God, as a servant, Lord, and nothing more. Lord, I pray that your will be done in this place. Thank you.
battle is won, but I'm not too weak, and I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. The road is hard. The road is hard, but it's not too long. The enemy's here, but he's not too strong.
Hallelujah! has to cry out. Oh, there is none like our God. Every tongue has to cry out. Oh, there is none like our God. Oh, there is none like our God. Sing it out. There is none like our God. Every knee has to bow down. Every has to cry out. Oh, there is none like our God. Oh, there is none like our God. Sing it out. There is none like our God. Every knee has to bow down. Every tongue has to cry out. Oh, there is none like our God.
Ooh, Jesus' name. Ooh.
Lifted high and a heart
continue singing, if the ushers would go ahead and receive our tithe and offering. Let's just continue to worship the Lord. We're not going to interrupt this. We're just going to flow with it. Be seated. I want to say how much I appreciate a church, family, group of people that care enough about a city, enough about ministry, enough about the future, enough about life, that you maintain the integrity of the word of the Lord. Of the vision of both earth, life here, but life after the book of Revelation. It is sincerely an appreciable fact that some from every tribe and nation are going to find an appetite for a future. The world has learned to create appetite for weird living. Our children are being battered by weird life from lies. Living with drugs is extremely temporary. You cannot get away from sin with drugs. You cannot get away from a broken heart with medication. There is a healer. There is a spiritual level of life that can produce a home that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. There is a faith that can reach beyond the clouds to the one who created the heaven and the earth and all that is therein. He takes the responsibility. He said, I create good and I create evil. I will never force you to come to my heaven. I will give you a choice as to who and what you serve. You can follow flesh and all of its iniquitous ways, or you can follow the one who went straight to Golgotha. Took him 33 years to get there. He was in no rush, and he's not rushing you today, but he is calling. He is saying, come to me. I will give you rest, give you a winning spirit that will conquer all the frustrations of life, and you will ascend into the high heights of my thinking. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But if you will seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. I don't care, Mr. Paul, if you're in a drunken state and if you're killing Christians. Call on me and I will be your God. And I will save you from the hell that you're experiencing. And you, as the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, will have a God that will walk with you through your hell and will give you peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, and victory over the passive powers of lethargic living. That will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that God that gave you your first breath is in attendance in this building right now. He will be there when you take your last one. Motioning for you, follow me. I've got a world that you're dreaming of. I've got a world that your heart is screaming for. I've got a kingdom that has no end. I encourage you today to write it down if you have to, but read Isaiah the 9th chapter when you get time. And let the word of the Lord speak to you. Let the glory of the word from historic past reach across the mountains that you have had to go across. And let the promises of God reach into your living room and into your bedroom and into your car and on your job site. Let those promises become an anchor of the soul. When you have nothing to hold on to, you've got a promise from God. And he said, I will be with you always. As long as you're with me, I will be with you. But you make the choice of how much of me is in your mind, in your heart, and in your life, your home, your job. But I am the peace that passes understanding. I am the joy that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Read about Apostle Paul in those letters to the church from all the way from Rome to Jude, the thoughts that him and others emanated, and sense the foundation of the Lord that standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Well, we're going to move forward today here, and we're going to do it quickly because I'm hungry. Thank these young people for giving in to the wonderfulness of God and the glory that is coming with that. Somebody say kingdom life. You either belong to one kingdom or another, kingdom of flesh or the kingdom of the Spirit of Almighty God. Kingdom of the Lord is obviously got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of glory, the Lord of creation, the Lord of power, the Lord of forgiveness, the Lord of mercy, the Lord of grace. He's got it all. Why would anybody want to eat from a table that has nothing but fodder? Just a lot of words. A lot of promises, but limited provision. I've never seen an alcoholic cure a marital problem. I've never seen a drug addict get rid of his disappointments. But I have seen people come to Calvary. I have watched them by the dozens. 38 years I've watched the altars in yonder and in here And I've watched men and women leave hell at the altar and walk out to find the heaven of heavens. We talk about transformation, but ladies and gentlemen, you are what you eat. You are what you receive in your cranium. The Bible says it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The day you turn your life over to God, you start salvation. But the day you quit serving God is the day you terminate your salvation. Because he is our salvation. And they that obey the voice of the Lord get the unique privilege of living in kingdom life. And that privilege is so phenomenal. Down in this right-hand corner, you are not only important. Everybody feels their importance. You wake up in the morning, and if people don't treat you decent, you find your boxing gloves. They may be nothing but words clothed in spiritual array. Don't think for one minute it is not your spirit that creates the voluminous words that try to damn your family or damn a friend or damn something else. When somebody hurts us, we want to get back at them. That's the way of flesh. The way of the Lord is forgive them before they ask. There's a legitimate reason for that. Come here real quickly. Slap the fire out of me on my back, please, not my head. Oh, come on. Get with it. We don't have all day. Now, what do you think you want to do? He's about to cry. He hit me so hard. Don't you ever hesitate. No, hold on. I didn't mean to put you in that awkward of a position. Let me say this. There is a natural instinct. You don't have to get any training. You don't have to get any kind of... Anybody say, go get him. He hit you. Go hit him. But you do need a preacher to tell you, forgive him. Turn him loose. And this is what the book says. Turn such an one over to flesh or Satan. Or turn them over to God for the saving of their soul. But you want to be careful how you retaliate. Because he forgave you before you ever ask him to. That is the open door that leads us into the familiarity of the perfect law of liberty. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. Somebody say peace. Somebody say joy. Is not that the three things that every mother wants for their children? Is not that the thing that the dad wants for the entire family? Is that not what God wants for his lookalikes? I wish you'd tell your neighbor, you look like Jesus. Now I want you to act like him. That's what I'm talking about. You can't act like him if you don't think like him. You cannot live like him if you don't have the spirit he has. Here's the beautiful part about that baby that was born in the manger. He was birthed by a spiritual power. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and Mary was with child. That holy thing which was born by an invisible creative energy level without the sexual counterpart of a husband. God became flesh. So he, as God, hit me again. Could forgive you long before you ever did it. And if you are sensing what he is doing, he's feeling horrible for doing that. See, so God, for Christ's sake, forgave you in advance. So all you got to do is confess, I'll never do it again, Pastor. Unless you ask me.
Unless you ask.
I don't believe in having fake church. I don't believe in a fake God. I believe in a real God. I believe in a real heaven. I believe in a real hell. I've tasted enough of hell to know I don't plan to go there. And I plan to show my kids and your kids how to get to that glory world that puts you in a dance every day when you think, I'm a king's kid. I belong to the royal lineage. I belong to the tribe of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is no time for playing footsies with the devil. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, so I don't forget it. Has anybody ever had a good cussing from somebody? If you haven't, raise your hand. That'll make it easy for everybody to agree. If nobody's ever damned you by either some weird spirit or by vulgarity languages, then I want you to raise your hand if that's never happened to you. If you've never felt hated, if you've never felt despised, raise your hand. We were all born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and we were limited in our ability to negotiate that kind of world. How do you negotiate it when somebody treats your kids wrong? Don't have to talk to me long to understand I want a gun. I don't want anybody hurting my wife. Don't want anybody stealing my kids and grandkids. But I promise you, the devil is out to get your family and your future and to damn your soul forever. But thank God he sent me to tell you, you don't have to live that way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are death. But I come to you to tell you, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if any man would like to come to the source of life, come and follow me and I will make you. I will make you. The word make in the writings of John, I will restructure. I will recreate. Leave you with your basic same features, but you'll be a new person. I don't want people to think that you grow from infantile birth in the Holy Ghost to a mature Christian. He said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you will come into the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this whole concept is that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now here's the beauty of the advocate. Somebody say advocate. The word Holy Ghost is used as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, or the Advocate. And the Advocate, invisible. When you start to hit Tanner on the head with your fist, you just hit me with your, open palm. But you're fixing to hit him on the jaw with your fist. Here's the beauty of having the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sees you about to do something that you're going to regret. And so the Holy Ghost, without Callan hearing it, without his grandmother-in-law hearing it, without, did I see your mother back there? No, but I see some of your family. Without that, the Holy Ghost whispers into your ear, don't do it. God won't be pleased with that. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So forgive before you ask. So you turn the other cheek. Some of you missed it. And you walk away from the fight knowing that God can't lie. And he said, I will take care of those people that abuse you. So you forgive them, but I'm the judge, and they're going to pay for treating you wrong. They're going to start sowing seed where people don't live godly. They're going to sow seed that attracts the attention of demons. They're going to sow seed that attracts the attention of lying and cheating and fornicating and committing all kind of heinous sins. And they're going to live to regret ever turning their back on Jesus, the Savior, and they're going to live forever with a hell that they cannot get out of. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get out of condemnation without forgiveness. You can't get out of torment without the love of God in your heart. I'm here to tell you that happens on earth, but forever it is sealed. You live however you want to. But you're not going to come to this house and not find somebody that's preaching in this pulpit that identifies with the book of Revelation that says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He said, I have set before you an open door that whosoever will can enter into the realm of the superior, into the glories of a universe that only God can take care of. He keeps the sun revolving. He keeps the wind blowing. He keeps your lungs working. I'm here to tell you it pays rich dividends to serve the Lord with joy and with peace. And the devil would taunt you and tempt you. You're big enough to handle this whole stuff. Come here. How many years did you try to handle it all on your own, sir? Look at this crowd. How many years did you try to handle it without the Holy Ghost?
25.
Do you regret going to Calvary? Show them how it's done. Go visit his history in a jailhouse. Go visit his history in a lamentation. And then watch him as he rises out of a graveyard of being buried in the name of Jesus and walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to tell him. You're free, sir. He feels free. He has no condemnation. Ma'am, how does it feel to be married to a man you never have to worry about committing adultery? You never have to worry about him going out and doing something stupid to you. I mean, he may do a few things like fishing too long or something. Does it feel nice to hug a man that's pure, godly, righteous, holy? Does it feel good to do that? Show them what we're talking about. Stand up and let them see an embrace. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. There is no unity like the unity of the Spirit of God, the hope of glory, the power of God unto salvation. It's not about the name on the church. It's about the name that is in your heart. Somebody say, grow. Is there any of you can ever remember even being three? On your knees, if you would, and sort of keep standing up. But this don't even look right, does it? Grow. Eat. 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 How many of you have noticed that you didn't get 3 more inches taller after you ate once? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You grow as you eat. You grow as the word of God is preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the word of God that's preached. Just 2 inches at a time, man. We can't handle you just becoming a giant overnight. Eat, eat, exercise thyself unto godliness. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. You're going to develop muscles that are going to take your grandkids to a future. You're going to develop muscles that are going to take your city to a future. You're going to develop muscles that are going to absolutely empower some of our elected officials. I'm here to tell you the church is the greatest thing going, and it's the light of the world. It's the salt of the earth, and it's the bride of Christ. Oh, would somebody stand up and give him the praise he deserves? He deserves to hear our praise. Shout unto the Lord with a loud voice. Cry out, thank you, thank you, thank you. He that abideth in me is the same, but he that addeth to well, I don't think God cares about that. I mean, after all, he probably lied a little bit, because we all do. He probably didn't mean what he said. I don't know about you, but my dad, he always meant what he said. And he expected me to be obedient to his voice. And he loved me enough to take that 56-inch belt off and help me understand a little bit. Because he cared about what I became, what kind of granddaddy y'all would wind up with. You can thank Hewlin, NMI Meyer. That NMI is NMI, no middle initial. You can thank Hewlin and Martha. Martha would always say it real kindly and gently. And she would turn me over to Dad for the administration of the belt. And I would say, but Mother, the kids across the town are doing it. She said, well, son, let me tell you, I'm not their mother. And I'm not responsible for what they do or don't do. But God made me responsible for you. He gave you to me. And I am under oath to show you the way to an end that has sufficiency, that has efficiency. And so, with tears down her cheek, she would administer punishment to me.
not to hurt me, to remind me there is a punishment for sin, for wrong. Your world has sort of let up on that. They just hit them when they're hurting now. They curse them, even their kids. Can't imagine bringing a kid into this world and then damning them because they don't know how to live. When they watched mother and dad lie, they watched mother and dad hate. They watched mother and dad get back at one another. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Show him. Brother Darren, would you show all these men how to treat a woman? No, no, stand her up, man. She... Good day's work. You don't come home shouting, "Where's the food?" No, the house of God is a whole lot more than trying to sell tickets to heaven. Not trying to sell you some ticket that won't get you out of your own prison. I'm selling truth today that will set you free from the law of sin and death. I will put you in a place where as you obey the word of God, that if, Paul, you wind up in prison bars, you can still sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the guy that put you in prison said, "Paul, where'd you get that spirit?" He said, "I went to Calvary, man. I went to Pentecost, man. I got the Holy Ghost. I was born again. I'm a new creation." I can sing whether the sun's shining or not, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. But blessed be the name of the Lord, who gave me his honor, who gave me his future, who gave me his word, who gave me his blood, who gave me authority. Oh, would some of you men stand up and let your family hear you praising this God. He is worthy to be praised. His name alone is worthy. Spiritually minded is where is there any Vosser? Jesus said it this way. Somebody say that's a thought. Okay, it's a good thought. Now, he said the words that, you've evidently seen this before somewhere, because he's thinking you're going to be the recipient. He said the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What does this look like? A paper towel? A wet one? This guy is awesome. As he grows up, you want to know where he lives, because I'm telling you, he is on Awesome Street. Now, how many of you have ever been done wrong song thing? We've all been done wrong. You go home and you start thinking about it. And the spirit of the thought gets down in yourself. and you become less instead of more because you have incarcerated hate and all that goes with it. And now you're a partner with weakness because hate doesn't set you free. You may kill your neighbor because you hate them. But then you've got to answer to God for killing them because they look like him. Ever forget that he created all of us in his image? And he don't want you hurting. He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. But I will be your God, and I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will make your name strong in the city. I will give you credibility with all the people in the community. Because I am not a God that's ashamed of my look-alike. And I don't want you looking inferior and lacking. And so I will lift up your name, and your name will be strong in the community. And the name of the Lord will be exalted because you chose to obey my way. But turn your back on me, the enemy will take you out because you're not capable within yourself of managing the future. It's either dark or light. But he said, even if you're trying to be lukewarm, he said, I will come. And I will. Have you ever seen how far you could spit, Brother Logan? Whenever you want to spew something, you use the roof of your mouth and your tongue, and you can spew water a pretty good piece. And don't try it in here. But he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The taste is that pitiful when you're lukewarm. He said, I will either have it hot or cold, because I know what to do with hot and cold. And I allow whatever to happen to the hot and cold. But when you get lukewarm, I will force you into the direction you've been wanting to go. I want to take you to just before salvation by the power of the Holy Ghost became a reality. Calvary reoccurs when spiritual wickedness appears. Now, you're going to have several people to answer to if you mistreat that lady. And one of them dropped behind you. I mean, two of them dropped behind you. And then knowing your mother like I know her, that's another one. But I ain't going to be far away. If God's not a God that's afar off, believe me, this grandpa's not a God that's afar off. Here's the beautiful thing about it. God came to lay down his life for you so you could have the life you were meant to have when you were born. Your mother thought you was cute. Not long after you were born, you needed some years, some food. Best. They came out red, needing diapers immediately. The church is the mother of us all. You need a local church that knows how to nurture Sunday school classes, youth meetings. And don't we have a great youth team right now? They know how to take people that are hurting and not rush them to try to make them by law start operating in supremacy. I've seen and watched as they tenderly stranger they will not follow. That's what God said. He said, my people, they get used to a mother and a father relationship, and they will not follow that strange voice down the street. Mama, daddy, and daddy, that kid needs to know what you know. And that is, there's a lot of strangers that have a lot of things to offer this flesh. Drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, fornication, adultery, all of it's on TV. That's why I'm against TV. The thing itself has no ability to be sin. It's what's on it. The consistent lying about what medication will do for people. As if all that happens in 5 seconds, because it looked like it happened in 5 seconds. They're selling all kind of stuff. I'm here to tell you there is an altar where it make glad the hearts of the people of God. And you can get rid of your frustrations. And you can get rid of your vexations. And you can get rid of the hate schemes. And you don't have to have it all built up in you where you kick a cat. No, 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 no. You can find the righteousness of God any day at a place called Calvary. Most of us have a video machine or a TV or something. So I'm not telling you you ought to go home and get rid of it. What I'm telling you is do what the Lord said. Guard your eyes. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And those tender babies don't need to see adulterous scenes. They don't need to see same-sex marriages. They get to thinking it's okay if you watch it. Eternity is a long time. You thought it was eternity to have 3 days of high fever. I'm telling you, that's not even the beginning of eternity. You have only tasted of death. I'm here to tell you that I don't want to live without God. I don't want you living without God. I'm going to preach it every Sunday. He's alive. We go to the altar to find mercy. Let me tell you what. Some of you have never heard this, so I'm going to iterate it to you real quickly. Your obligation is to forgive your neighbor 7 times 70 a day. Now, that whole predication, how many of you have ever heard of the river of life? Whereof make glad the streams of God. Can you play like a river? Just come flowing from that side to this side. Now be a slow river. Well, we have got some movie stars in this place. There is a river, the Bible said. And he said, I tell you what, I'm going to get it closer to you than that. I'm going to be in you a well of water springing up. Then he said, I'm going to tell you how great it is. As you let the word of God flow through your mind, he calls it the washing of the water by the word. So what happens is when you get hate schemes and you're in a river and you don't know what to do, the river of God makes glad the stream. And all of a sudden, you do what Paul did. He said, I've learned to rejoice in trouble. I've learned to rejoice in temptation, because he that is working salvation in my life is greater than my adversary. And I am an overcomer. Huge. So then he goes so far, he said, if you'll just study the word, the washing of the water by the word will wash out all that hate. And you can go home and not have to tell your wife how bad life has been. And come here, let me show you how that works. She's been waiting all day for a joyful husband to come in. And he comes in and he says, my God, I've had the worst day in the world. People don't like me anymore. My boss is too rigid. Smothering the poor little lady at the house who's been slaving trying to keep up your sheets. She said, yes, Lord. No, I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is our salvation. I'm not talking about a one-time experience where you get salvation. You become a partner with salvation. You become a partner with the blood. You become a partner with victory. You become a partner with glory. You become a partner with life. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you have just entered in to kingdom living. Musicians are coming to give you some hope. Being baptized in Jesus' name should be one of the greatest opportunities. It's the only way in the Bible that anybody was ever baptized. No one in the Bible was baptized unless they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you understand why? Read Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So he comes along. And Jesus is born. They said, call his name Jesus. Because he was born of a virgin. He was produced by an invisible spirit. God is a spirit. And that spirit overshadowed a lady that had never known a man. So it was foolproof that it was not the seed of a man. It was the seed of the Creator that landed in the womb of Mary. And the Bible said God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he goes on. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The Father was the source, and the source was the invisible spirit, and the invisible spirit became flesh and produced through flesh. And man said only God could do that. And they were watching Jesus do it. There's not another person. God has about 1,000 titles. He was the lily of the valley. He was the bright and morning star. He was the rod. He was the scepter. He was everything. He became anything necessary to bring mercy. Stand up, gentlemen. To bring mercy to Esther, it was a scepter. To Moses, it was a voice in a fiery bush. Who do you want to be? David. It was a slingshot. And to Jesus, it was the perfect bloodline. In him was no sin. And the sinless Lamb laid down his life so you could come by faith. And through the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized by water. The water don't do it. It is your faith in Jesus' bloodline. The brand new. The Bible calls him the second Adam. The first Adam fouled out. But the second Adam made it through the graveyard. He was tempted in all points such as we, and yet without sin. And when he came out the other side of the graveyard, he ascended on high and led captivity captive. And watch this now. You want to see how humans react? Read the last part of the book of Luke. 500 people watched him ascend. Now you're going to have to disappear another way, because I can't throw you that high. But blink your eyes. He's gone. But they looked up, and he was going up. And out of the 500, he said, let me tell you something. Meet me in Jerusalem, because I'm going to give you this same power. That when you die, you're going to die in the faith. You're going to die covered by the blood. You're going to die with a new name. And when the day of the whistle blew, the trump of God shall sound. I know that's a weak one. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. But he said, I'm going to give you power to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Now watch this. 500 people watched a unforgettable, never before happening. And only a fourth of them went back to get the promise. Don't tell me they don't believe he left. They had faith that he was with them and then he was gone. But they didn't have enough faith to follow him. But 120, a fourth of them, made their way back to the upper room. And when they faced Pentecost, the cross, the empty cross, the empty tomb, when those 25%, 120 out of 500, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was part of the crowd. If Mary needed to talk in tongues, after birthing a baby from an invisible father, why would we shadow box? Play games with this thing called salvation. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one mind, and they began to shout praises unto God. And all of a sudden, while they were praising God, there came unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, Thank you, gentlemen. We're closing. Paul comes along and he helps us with our understanding. He said, tongues are not for a sign to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Because when they see that this spiritual individual who has repented and been baptized in Jesus Christ has received the spirit of the resurrected Messiah, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, put your brakes on real slow. Every eye's closed and every head's bowed. If you've never cussed in your whole life, I want you to lift your hand. You've never said a damnation word in your whole life. Okay, you can look around. Nobody raised their hand. Who taught you how to curse? Who taught you how to lie? Who taught you how to damn somebody? This sinful nature doesn't have to be trained to do wrong, but it has to be trained to do right. How many push-ups can you do? Exercising thyself unto godliness. That's good. You don't have to get too carried away. I couldn't do many more than that myself, if that many. When the Bible talks about exercising yourself, it's talking about that scripture that says, exercising yourself unto godliness and developing your faith by exercise. The more you overcome the devil, the more devils you can overcome. The more you overcome your flesh, the more people that live in the flesh you're going to help them overcome. We stand. I would be remiss if I didn't offer opportunity for somebody that your faith has soared into the heights of God's Word. You've never had the Holy Ghost, or you've just allowed it to become something distant. This altar's open. We will not crowd around you. There will only be two or three people that will close enough that they will pray with you. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, our water is warm and we keep it chlorinized so it's clean. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if you would. If there's nobody here you want to pray for, would you pray for those people that you care about in our city? I am praying for every preacher. I am praying for every church family that they not have to or feel obligated to come here, but they can preach the same Jesus, the same experience. But I just want everybody to have a chance to know what it's really all about. Christ in you is called the Holy Ghost. Do we have some travailers? When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. Is there anybody that would plead the blood of Jesus over souls that are going to live forever somewhere? It's not to frighten you, it's just an awareness. Now, Father, I pray over this crowd that while people may need some time to think about it, that they will feel bold enough, courageous enough to call so that we can give them scriptures, verbiage, spiritual assistance. If you need to go, please don't feel like you're doing wrong. I know I've held you a little longer, but eternity's a long time. I want you to be ready. I'll take time personally to answer any questions you have about the material I've disseminated in this cloud today. Those of you online, it's a whole big deal to breathe God's air, to live on God's earth, to take advantage of any of His spirits. Oh, sing it. Today, but if he does, be ready. Take advantage. Thank you again for Pastor Appreciation Day.
I see.